I'm going to read an extract from my most recent novel, Greek Gold. It's the story of a wartime hero and the daughter he never met. In part one, Alex, a newly married SOE agent, is dropped into German-occupied northern Greece in 1943. Badly hurt on landing, separated from supplies and his wireless operator, he gets in with the wrong band of resistant fighters. His second mistake is to fall in love with the Romanian Greek, Ileana. Within a couple of months, he is dead. In part two of the novel, his daughter Helen, born after he was killed and now a widow herself, visits the scene of his death. The second half of the novel is told by Helen, and here we are in her head, as it were. The best way to tackle a long, steep climb is to think hard of something entirely different. This is the trick I learnt on Dartmoor. But Dartmoor tours are pimples compared to this mountain. I've been head down, putting one foot in front of the other, slowly, determinedly, for a long hour or more. The mountainside feels like a wall reaching to the sky. I'm hot and tired, and I have not been left to my thoughts. I have a talkative companion who is much the same age as I am, but male and fit. He could bound up this mountain in no time at all, but he's kindly keeping to my pace. I'm not sure whether I'm pleased or cross about this. He's called Heinrich, and he comes from Munich. I find him disturbing. He's tall and has rather well-shaped legs, which emerge from shorts. Most, but not all, of his wild head of greying hair is tied in a ponytail and threaded through the back elastic of a baseball cap. Side wings hang around his face and merge with his beard. He could stride onto a stage and sing Wagner. He'd be an elderly dark Wotan rather than young blonde Siegfried. He's staying at Michalakis's place too, and it was Michalakis who suggested we visit his Sarakatsan's shepherd relations together. Heinrich and I met over the jug of orange juice at breakfast. He speaks Greek as well as he speaks English. He's a lecturer at Ludwig Maximilian University and an authority on the flora and fauna of the Pindos Mountains. This is his third visit to Glykopigi. "Is the best base to access the gorge," he says, "which has wonderful examples of the more rare plants." He gives me nuggets of information at each bend in the zigzag path. "You have heard of the Glykopigi doctors?" "No." "People used to come from far away to be treated by them." We trudge on. "The last of the doctors was a young Romanian girl who was known for her remedies. Sadly, she fell."
"Fell?"
"Yes, from high up in the gorge. She was after a plant which I think might have been Carduus Marianus." He gives me a quick sidelong glance and lets me have the common name. "Milk thistle. Good for lactating mothers. She slipped 500 metres. They found her next day. She left a child, not much more than a baby. Her sister took care of it."
"How sad."
At the next bend, Heinrich goes on. "The sister is still alive, a very old lady, but in complete possession of her mental capacities."
I stop.
A very old lady might have known my father. "Where does she live? In Glykopigi?" "Not all the time. She comes and goes from Janina."
"But you've met her?"
"Yes, but she doesn't know anything about plants."
Heinrich is back to plants.
I'm pretty well done for when we reach our first target, a cairn of stones on a ridge. "I'm going to sit and rest for a while," I tell Heinrich.
"Of course."
"You can go on."
"No, I will stay with you. We drink from our water bottles and eat the oranges Michalakis gave us. I gaze at the view with greater appreciation now that I can breathe more normally. The ridge on which we're sitting links two peaks. Below is what Leonard of Hidden Gold called the plateau. I see it as an undulating grassy plain ringed by other peaks. It doesn't look at all suitable as a landing ground for parachutists. Directly below us is a circle of water reflecting the blue of the sky. I can see a few sheep and a collection of grey stone huts. Looking back the way we came, there is no sign of the village, but I can tell where it must lie. The line of the gorge further below is clear. It's as though the mass of mountain has been riven in two jagged halves by a giant's chainsaw. I can just make out a gleam of asphalt road circling a tree-covered hilltop. Beyond, further ranges recede in bands of violet grey, fading to the far horizon. Albania. You see the lake? Heinrich is pointing. Yes, more pond than lake. It is the habitat of a newt of the salamander order, Mesotriton alpestris. But nowadays it is known as Ichthyosaurus alpestris. He glances at me and adds, with a smile, alpine newt. I'm beginning to like him. What I'd really like to know, I tell him, is the name of the old lady, the sister of the plant collector. He thinks for a minute. It's something like Eleni, Eliane. No, that's not it. Give me a moment. Ah, yes, it's Iliana. I file the name carefully in my memory. I will find Iliana.